This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
Well, hey everyone, we are back in action. It is the one and only Confessions of a Pastor. So we want to welcome all of our confessioners out there. This is Keith and Kara. We are so excited to be joining you back on Confessions of a Pastor.
We are. It's been a hot second since we've been on.
It's been several months since we've recorded a podcast.
Yes.
Not because we haven't wanted to, but we have been held back.
That's a really good way to put it. We have.
Yes.
Physically, spiritually.
It's been a rough few months, right?
It has been, yeah. But I think we're edging towards the other side of it.
Come on. Tell us about your health challenges.
Oh, well, I got pneumonia probably 2.5 months ago now. I'm 2.5 months into it. I feel much better now.
Yes.
But it hit me from out of nowhere and it took me out.
Right.
I fought 103-degree fever for almost 2 weeks and finally went in and they said, you have pneumonia. So
yes.
After a couple of rounds of antibiotics, a lot of prayer, a lot of rest, I am feeling much better.
Come on. That was a long sickness.
Yeah.
I mean, it was difficult because it just kept lingering.
It did. And I couldn't even talk without coughing. So
right.
It was challenging.
Weeks and weeks into this. So it was hard to go to church.
Yeah.
Which you did. You just were taking cough drops.
Yeah.
And fighting the cough. Remember that date we went on probably about four or five weeks into it?
It was terrible.
We went to Monkless Brewing and they sat us down and then they sat somebody else down next to us. And you were coughing, but
yeah.
I mean, you were 5 weeks into this thing, and the people next to us literally asked to be moved.
They did.
As if we were like back in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, to be fair, I had a really nasty cough, so probably shouldn't have been out.
I don't know. We needed that. That was the first date we had in like a month, and so.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you try and find normalcy in chaos, and that's kind of what that was. But,
yes.
Yeah.
And the epiphany I got during that time, I shared with the church was just as I was praying for you, my bride, to be well from sickness, I believe Jesus wants his bride, the church, to be well.
Yeah.
That my heart was broken when you were sick, and it gave me this revelation. Jesus' heart breaks for us, the church, when we're sick.
Yeah.
When we don't function the right way.
And absolutely.
The church is sick.
Yeah.
On so many different levels. I mean, we were just talking today. There's, you know, national news this week of another mega pastor, arguably one of the biggest in our country, who resigned because of hidden sin.
Yeah.
This is like being frustrated over and over of the brokenness of the church.
Yeah.
And how it must completely break our Savior's heart.
Yeah.
The groom for the bride.
Yeah. And it's hard for the Christian circles too. It's like another hit, you know,
yes.
Like it's one more reason why the world says, I don't want what you have.
Right.
And I think that's what's really hard about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. We have no agenda today, friends. We're just glad to be back with you. But as we talk about like the problem with the church and the world observing the church and how the church functions today, at least in the context that we understand it, there's a lot of it that is contrary to just Bible-based,
yes,
you know, what God destined and designed to build his church for.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we use the things of this world and the litmus test of the church.
Yeah.
And then it's confusing.
It's kind of a blend.
Yes.
Right? It's a blend of culture and church and,
right,
and scripture. And when it blends together, it kind of gets what we have.
And it makes people happy. But the problem is it's not the purity of what God wants. And then we're let down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Pastor Luke in Redmond a few weeks ago. We had lunch and we were just sharing about the church as his church is growing and Journey Church in Bend has grown and some of the problems we've had the last several months of, you know, some of the undercurrents of issues, and somehow we got on the subject of reviews, like Google reviews or Yelp reviews.
Oh boy.
And just how silly that is for a church.
Yeah.
How can you genuinely give a church a review?
Yeah.
Like that's actually anti, it's antithesis of biblical church.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about, is we take the cultural norms and we try and blend them with scripture.
Right.
And it doesn't, it's not blending well.
Yes. So he likened it to, here's the reality. Someone gives a review for the church, and this came out of, I'd gotten two negative reviews on Google, one-star reviews, both aimed, directed towards me. People not connected to the church, not members, not engaged, but yet disenfranchised or hurt. And so they give me a one-star review and so forth. And other ones have given 5 stars and they, you know, go back and forth. Well, Pastor Luke had a great observation of his own life. You know what? On some days, we are a one. On some days, we're a five. Other days were probably just a three. But if you look at it, church in the scriptures is likened to multiple metaphors. We're a body, a bride, and a family.
Yeah.
So how would you rate your family?
Yeah, right.
Some days your family is a one. You're dysfunctional, you're broken, you behaved in a way you shouldn't behave.
Yeah.
Other days you're jiving and you're doing well. So how dare we judge the church? Like, if you give a church a review one day, that's not who they are, because it's a living organism. It's a family.
Yeah. So, and there's so many dynamics that went into those specific reviews too. If I could just clarify, these didn't come out of the blue. We've been through some hard things. They were related. So
yes, to gossip and slander and a whole lot more. But I just overall in the big picture of this, it would be like somebody on the outside judging your family. Like, hey, I watched an interaction at a dinner. Yeah. And I'm going to give your family, I'm going to give your family a 1 star.
Yeah, I agree.
It's okay, but you saw us at our worst, not our best.
Yeah. But then let's be honest. We were just talking a little bit ago about the, you know, the mega church pastor and just that we've created in America a celebrity culture with church.
Yes.
And so what do we expect? We should expect no less if we're going to mimic the world and build celebrity culture churches. We should expect to be reviewed, to be judged. You know, and like
that's what makes it hard to do church in America. And I even dare say, do church, to be the church, to grow a church, to
foster a healthy church of what Scripture says church is.
It's hard,
which is not a building. It is not a program. We are the church. Amen. And so it's like, it's almost like swimming upstream, teaching and fostering a gathering of people towards what actually the scripture says who we are.
Amen.
Which segues into the book of Ephesians, which we've, you know, you've been preaching through for a few months now at Journey, and it's been really healthy because
more than 6 months.
Yeah. It's been so healthy, because what it's doing is it's boiling down who we are, who we are in Christ, and then how that plays out in our, in our life, in our walk with him.
Yes.
And so to me, it's been really healthy to help foster a healthy church.
Come on.
For
me as a preacher, it's been a mirror for me. There's been a lot of conviction and this reality. What does it really mean to be a Christian, to be the church, to know God well and to be known by him, and then to operate in that fullness? Mm-hmm. And that, it excites me as a pastor, but then also troubles me that we're not even close. Mm-hmm. And we have so much to grow in. Even Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 is my prayer for the church today, Journey and the church as a whole. Like, let's go. Let's know the love of God, how high and deep and wide the breadth of God's love. Let's experience the fullness of God. Let's be a praying people. It's an exciting time. It's also a challenging time. You know, as we talk about the pastor we were referring to, just even historically speaking, if one day somebody listens to this podcast down the road, it's Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church. You know, just to open that up and say, here's a guy that grew a large church. In fact, we once hired a staff person that was on staff from Gateway Church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that was, wow, they can work at such a high level. You know, I was watching one news report, and they said, they average 100,000 on Sunday.
Wow.
In attendance.
That's huge. over many, many campuses?
I believe 9 campuses.
Yeah. Wow.
It's still huge. Yeah. I mean, one news agency said they're the largest church in the country. I don't know how accurate that is, but we're talking a guy that has a massive influence who people revered. And frankly, I've fallen in that camp. He's got great material on giving financially and a blessed life of trusting God with your finances, how God trusts you. And there was some great stuff in there. But when our theology doesn't match our private lives, that's where
a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where we see... pastors falling, you know.
Yes.
I mean, we've recently even just read through Proverbs for our Bible reading plan, and Proverbs spoke to me through those
the wisdom.
Oh, the wisdom of Proverbs is just really powerful, and I mean, there's a few, you know, just little nuggets of truth in there. Is that, you know, if I can't remember them specifically, but a leader or even a person who isn't walking right will fall, and they'll fall fast. And you know, that's what we're seeing, and it just really is a tragedy. It's a loss for the church. It's a loss for that 100,000, you know, people that follow him.
All the influence of churches that have connected.
And,
you know, I was sharing with you over the last few days, you were the one that first reported this to me. I was totally unaware. I saw some what do you call them? Clickbait type articles. And I didn't even go there. I didn't know what it was. And then you asked me, did you hear about this? And I was like, no, when you gave me the details, I was unaware. But I was telling you that so many influencers, entertainers, preachers, and more have been at that church, you know, from that platform. It really was a platform in our country. And as a result, it comes back to what you were saying a moment ago. What is the church?
Yeah.
Have we created entertainment and comfort?
Yeah.
Have we created our own version of what we think Christianity and the church ought to be?
I do believe we have,
right?
If I'm going to be really honest.
And it's easy to fall prey to that.
It is.
Not to judge other people, but to internally say it's easy to have a celebrity mindset. And that's in every sphere, whether reformed or charismatic. They all have their celebrities.
Yeah. But what I would say though, as we look in a mirror and reflect on, you know, the body that we're leading and
are accountable to.
Yeah. And I actually get encouraged because what I'm seeing at Journey Church is I'm seeing an army rise up who are the church. They are the warriors. They are praying for each other. They are coming alongside. They're bearing with one another like nothing I've ever seen. That's what I hold on to and I'm thankful for in this season of watching, you know, another celebrity pastor fall. I'm just thankful that we're in the midst of a group of people that have linked arms and say, let's do this thing. Like, let's be the church.
Yes.
And not just watch a celebrity on a stage.
Yeah. The spiritual growth at Journey Church the last 2 years has been exponential. Watching the Spirit of God work with the Word of God and the people of God.
Yeah.
It's been so humbling and life-changing. And yet at the same time, you know, this past Sunday, there was so much demonic activity involved, from technology to people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, we get blindsided by the enemy and his schemes. And yet I was praying that morning before church happened that God would protect us, that his glory would be great and life-changing, all of the things I was praying. And then yet when you're blindsided by the enemy, you're still surprised.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's happening? I've been reminded this week, we're recording this today on a Friday. That was this past Sunday, so 5 days ago. So I've been mulling for 5 days of spiritual war, and we're in the armor of God. So this is very much on the forefront of my mind, is spiritual warfare, prayer, the full armor of God, of how being a Christian is a daily battle.
Yeah.
It's a fighting the good fight. It's engaging in spiritual warfare proactively, not just reactively.
Yeah.
But yet when the enemy gets you, you still have to be reactive.
Yeah.
It's a both and.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a part of you, if in the flesh, if I can be vulnerable enough to say this is so exhausting, it's like, do I have it in me to keep fighting? I remember back in 2021, those were the kind of conversations we were having.
Oh, we didn't have it in us.
Like, why do we have to keep fighting? Like, it's such a fight. And it's like, yes and no. Like, you're And it's the difference of, and God gave us this revelation, it's fighting from victory, not for victory. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is a fight. Mm-hmm. Be not mistaken. You have to fight for your marriage. You have to fight for your mental health. You got to fight for your kids. You got to fight for your church. You got to fight for character integrity. I mean, you have to fight for all those things, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And it could be exhausting when you think like, I don't want to keep fighting. But when you operate from victory, it's out of the anointing of praying in the spirit, praying the promises of God's
word. And that's the fight, right? The fight has happened. The fight happens in prayer.
Amen.
You know, so so we put on Jesus is the full armor. Yes. And at the end of that, you know, passage about the armor of God, which you're going to preach on this Sunday about prayer, it's like, prayer is the driving force behind it. So we're nothing without prayer.
Let's go. I totally agree that without prayer, you have all the tools, you have all the armor, but you don't have the power.
Yeah, totally.
You're missing, you know, as a scripture would call it, the anointing.
Yeah.
The power of the Spirit of God at work in your life.
Yeah, and I would say for me too, like even when we started this podcast by talking about when I was sick, I had a good friend here at Journey pray for me a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I was still battling with sickness and I wasn't fully healed and just feeling really discouraged. And she told me that God had really prompted her to pray for me the week before, and she didn't. Mm. She was disobedient, essentially. And so the next Sunday, she walked over to me after one of the services and said, "I just feel like I really need to pray for you." And so she like put her hand on my, you know, my chest and just went to war for me in the heavenlies.
Yes.
And that was the beginning for me of healing. Mm. I think a full healing. It was the beginning of healing for me, and I do believe that. And so my point in saying all of that is that once you start experiencing the power of prayer, the power of intercessory prayer, it is life changing. It becomes something that is out there. Like I know I need to pray. The Bible tells me I need to pray.
Right.
And it moves into your heart where once you start experiencing the reality of what prayer actually does, then it for me, at least, I'll speak for myself, it allows me to, I have a different, totally different perspective.
Like, yes.
Then I do understand what it means to pray at all times, to pray, you know, continually without ceasing. That makes sense to me. Yeah. And now I am praying out of victory too, but it's not a burden. It's not a to-do. We're not talking about something to check off a to-do list.
It's who you are.
This is who we are.
Amen.
Exactly. And that's where, once we make that transition from being a to-do to who we are, that's huge.
Yes. I think for many of us that grow up in the church, and I say grow up in the church, neither of us grew up in the church, but the longer you're in church, let me put it that way. For many of us who attend church and are part of the church, prayer is likened often to asking, you know, that if someone's sick, well, we ask for prayer.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a need, we ask for prayer. And the church is no exception to that. When I mean like the entity of the local church, hey, we need this to happen. Would you guys pray for this? And so we're asking and petitioning God for favor on behalf of what we need. And so too many times, and I'm just relating it to my experience, prayer is often associated only with asking.
Yes.
It's not that communion with God, because when there's that communion with God, intercession does happen.
Yes, absolutely.
The Holy Spirit puts people on your heart and you have to pray for them. There's a boldness to introduce people to Jesus. God gives you an impartation of his word. I mean, prayer becomes so much more than just asking. And in my own personal experience, and I witness this with other people, the association of prayer is when you have a need and therefore you petition God.
Yeah.
And by the way, nothing's wrong with that. I'm constantly challenging the church to do that, particularly at pursuit nights. Jesus said, ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like a father gives his children good gifts and wouldn't give his children bad things, Jesus says, so the Heavenly Father is able to give you gifts. James says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And so, I mean, God does give, but that's not the association. Jesus often went off and spent time with the Father.
Yeah.
And out of that, we see the discernment of him choosing the disciples, having the discernment when to walk away. We just see a spirit-filled life through Christ. That prayer is so much more than just asking.
Yeah.
And I find like the further I am from that prayer, everything changes in terms of anointing, power, authority, joy, peace.
Totally.
You know, I'm not, you know, for me, even attempting to pray in tongues or to worship more or to exhort other people. Instead, it's just like it's operating.
Yeah.
It's functioning as a Christian, not functioning out of the anointing of Christ in me, which is coming back to Ephesians. It's in Christ. It's Christ in me. It's the inner working of God in us. And if we as Christians would get that, this world will be changed. I mean, that's where revival is coming, when we understand who we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's my little platform mini sermon.
Yeah, totally.
Because the church, Kara, is not a praying church. The church, we're allowed, and God is giving us the honor to live through right now and lead.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the church, capital C.
Yeah.
I'll give a judgment upon the church that we're a part of in our generation worldwide.
Yeah.
If we would be a praying church, the world would be changed.
Yeah, I agree.
Instead, the church lives like the world.
Yeah. Well, I think, which is how we even started this conversation with the falling of a mega pastor.
Yeah.
That's the fruit of that to me.
Yes.
You know, we see the fruit of that.
Yes. Well, if we are a praying church, we won't be a gossiping church. We won't be a slandering church. Yes. We will be a church that operates in power and authority.
Absolutely.
With boldness, as Paul says twice in verse 19 and 20 of Ephesians 6. He says, pray that I would have boldness. The NIV interprets it, that I would be fearless when I open my mouth. If the church operate in that way, that wherever I go, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be fearless with what comes out of my mouth. We will not be a divisive church.
Yeah,
we will be a church that is on mission together with one purpose, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
And if we're in intercession, it was my repentance coming out of the pandemic as a lead pastor. My main regret is that we as the church were not on our knees petitioning God in heaven to move on behalf of,
well, if
of our
we
faith,
weren't already doing that,
it didn't happen.
No,
I know.
It wasn't in our daily, it wasn't in our DNA.
But it became political to this day. You know, here we are 4 years from the start of the pandemic in 2020. It's 2024. It was political. You know, when I met with someone recently for coffee, it wasn't recent, but 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he was out in Colorado meeting with an influential pastor, and he was telling him about us and this church. And he asked, the first question out of his mouth is this: is your pastor a patriot? Mm. It had nothing to do with the gospel, had nothing to do with the Bible, had nothing to do with Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the Father. It was, is your pastor a patriot? And he stopped in his tracks, and he's a retired Army Ranger, Delta Force. And so if anybody knows patriotism, here's a guy that served his country well. And he had to ask, well, what do you mean by a patriot? Mm. And it was in direct correlation to, did your pastor meet in the pandemic? Did the church open its doors when they were supposed to be closed? Mm-hmm. And there was an association to the health of your church is determined on whether or not they met during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It wasn't, are they a praying church? Yeah. Are they, do they honor the government?
Yeah.
Instead, everything was associated to an American Western view of what we think health, strength, or even goodness is. Not in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, but rather in terms of what I liken it to and what other people give me pat on the back with. You know, this is a good thing to do. Open your doors when the government says close your doors.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot please man. We have to please God.
And that's what it comes down to, right? Especially when you're talking about trying times like the you know, leading through the pandemic, that we have, if we're not leading towards, or if we're not, if we're afraid of man, we're not going to lead well. So
absolutely,
we're going to be blown by the tides of the wind, and that's no good for anybody.
Yeah, this is Confessions of a Pastor. Listen, no pastor should take the pulpit or lead a church that has a fear of man, because people will turn against you.
Oh yeah,
faster than they're for you. The very people that come loudly supporting you will as loudly be absolutely against you.
Absolutely.
The people that come and say they love you are the first people that will stab you in the back.
Yep.
Like, we are not here for the love of people. And that's been a weird tension to try to share with people. Many don't get that. Mm-hmm. They just think, oh, can't we be friends with everybody? Mm-hmm. Can't we get along with everyone? Mm-hmm. And that would be great, but that's going to happen in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, on this side of heaven, we see the tension, the turmoil, the depravity of sin, which has caused how many hundreds of denominations around the world, how many church splits, how many problems. And there's just the reality that what we see in the book of Acts is still happening today. There's conflict, there's problems, and because of that, we have to keep coming back to the main thing, which is the main thing.
And if we're
Jesus Christ,
and
he's the head of the church.
Yeah. And if we're not doing it, if we're doing it for any other reason, then it's really in vain.
Yeah. You'll want to give up. We've had days like that. It's like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? It's like, oh yeah.
Well, if you keep
this is a calling.
Yeah, exactly. Number one, it's a calling. And number two is, it is as a leader, you have to keep in mind the big picture.
Yes.
So we're here on a mission.
Come on.
And, you know, we just have to keep that in mind. The big mission is that there's a whole city that, you know, needs Jesus. And that's why we're here.
And that's relatable in every area of our lives, whether that's in marriage, singleness, parenting, going to work, going to school. What's my mission? What's my purpose? Do I know that I'm called by God to first and foremost be a child of God? And when I operate out of who I am, everything else will follow.
Yeah.
If I have an expectation that I'm going to make my plans and God's going to bless those plans, now I'm let down by God, by other people. But when I'm really operating out of who I am in Christ, well, everything changes. The way I'm praying for people, the way I'm living my life, it's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
It's about Christ in me. And that really, that's the gospel.
It is. And that's a death to yourself.
Yes.
Which is,
amen,
you know, the call, because you don't get there without dying to yourself.
Yeah. Paul says that in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross.
Yes. Daily.
And follow him daily.
Yeah.
This isn't a, on Sundays, I'm going to get ready to be a Christian this week.
Yeah.
This is every day I'm a Christ follower first and foremost, and through that calling of who I am.
Yes.
I'm going to operate out of the abundance of
absolutely
God's grace, his truth. It can't fail.
Yeah.
My God can't fail.
Amen.
Yes. And that's the hope of the church.
Yeah.
And the frustration of the church being sick, as I used that illustration earlier of how Jesus sees the church and his heart breaks when we're sick. There's the hope there is that we don't stay there, just as you did not stay sick. You know, it felt like it in the moment. Like, is this ever going to get better? Come on, I want to get better. The church is the hope of the world.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is his plan A. And Jesus doesn't need a plan B because he does not fail.
Yeah.
He is building up his church.
Amen.
Wow. It's an honor to be living at this time. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy time to, you know, be in this position, but yeah, I feel like it's an honor for sure.
Well, I have a renewed vision in me for this time. And when I start to talk to people about it, it really excites me that we are the generation that God chose to live in such a time. And it sounds so simplified and elementary and almost like stupid to like spiritualize that. But like, I actually believe that because some of the greatest influencers ever in history, they're all dead. You know, the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, the Billy Grahams, the Mother Teresas, they're not alive in our generation.
Yeah.
So who is going to make the impact on the poor, the marginalized, justice, on evil, on evangelizing, on world missions? Like, God chose us to be alive and our kids and the church today for this time. I mean, God willing, his second coming, you know, but also the Antichrist and, you know, what we read in the book of Revelation, the unfolding of what I believe we're in right now, the end times.
Yeah.
This is it. And I got to just say for our listeners, the confessioners out there, like, God made you alive for such a time as this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is no time for us to shrink back and live life without purpose and value and calling.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree. So every now and then, you know, when times have been hard for us, I think about what would this community be like without mm-hmm. Journey, you know, mm-hmm. without the, you know, what we've really essentially what we've given our lives to.
Right.
And I think about all the transformation stories of people that really truly have found hope. They've yes. been set free.
Thousands
of people. And I just think I'm honored to be doing this.
Yes.
But I also recognize that it's not easy.
I would totally just share with the same thought with you. I thought the same thing recently this week in our news. There's been several restaurants in the news. One is the Phoenix restaurant, which we've eaten at over the years, maybe a dozen times since we've lived here. And we love it. We've never like left there saying that wasn't good, but it wasn't a place we frequented. But they announced their closing. And I don't know, did you see any of those articles on social media?
I saw that they've closed. I didn't read the articles.
Well, my point being, in seeing this on social media, hundreds and hundreds, no exaggeration. I mean, now it might be thousands, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people poured out their affection for the Phoenix restaurant closing.
Yeah.
I mean, people, I love that place, and how can it shut down? And this is so sad, and this is what's... I mean, it was just like they were in such fervent, adamant support for a restaurant that was closing down. Like, oh, they've made such an impact in this place. I used to go there often. I even saw one person liking them to They Are the Cheers of Bend, you know, the old bar show, yeah. you know, like where people can show up and they know your name, you know.
Yeah, totally.
But there was like this heartfelt passion and cry of our city saddened by a restaurant closing down. Now, case in point number two, another restaurant in town had a fire a yeah. couple days ago, and they're a taco place, El Sancho.
Yeah.
And it was a fire. They didn't put some ashes out properly that reignited yeah. and burned down the back of their restaurant, and they'll probably be closed for a very long period of time, the restaurant. And once again, hundreds yeah. of people poured out their... It was as if someone almost died. The grieving, like, this is insane, such passion. Oh, I'm so sad, and just these bold, powerful statements. And I thought about the church, like, if we disappeared,
yeah.
or if we burned down, or we yeah. just closed overnight, would they have the same affection and response? And to me, it's like the restaurant world, like, they're serving food, you know, they're serving.
Oh, I
like,
definitely think we would have the same response. Absolutely.
Well, that's good to know, because these are the weird things that go through my yeah. mind is like, what would happen to us if we burned down today? Would,
yeah.
You know, because I'll tell you, on the flip side, this is where my mind goes in terms of role play. People are also evil and mean.
Well, know, there like, is definitely those.
And the demonic works even through social media comments and people. And there certainly is a hatred towards the church today for yeah. a myriad of different reasons.
Yeah, I agree. But I guess I also just when we go through hard times, when we get slandered, when we get, you know, mean things said about us, or just things that really flat out aren't true.
Yeah.
That what really does... keep me steady and hold me towards not just running away because my feelings are telling me I should, you know, and holding fast and staying the ground is what you're talking about. Is we have like one chance,
yes.
right? We've got one life. God's yes. given us one chance.
Okay.
We're going to make the most of
Come
it.
On.
And you keep the end goal in mind. And when, for me, like I've had the honor and the privilege in the last like year and a half, 2 years, since we got back from our sabbatical, I've been very heavily involved at the church, more so than I had since the beginning. I was very involved when we started, and then there was just some years in there when I built a real estate business and I was disengaged. So I plugged back in about, I don't know, 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I have literally had... It is an honor and a privilege to me to talk with people, to hear people's stories that have been transformed by Jesus at Journey Church.
Praise God.
To lay hands on people and pray for them. I don't take it lightly. Like it's not something that I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't feel like it was making a difference. We could be doing 1,000 other things, you know.
Come on.
Like, I mean, really.
No, we've talked about that before. We could We could live somewhere else. We could be doing something else.
Yeah.
But I want to commend you because I've seen that in you, Kara, and I've witnessed you grow and the beauty of that in our marriage and you as a person, you for in this church and in the community of Bend. People are watching you. You're like this silent warrior that goes out. You're slaying demonic dragons, and to watch you like step up and even the prayer team and pray over people, and then afterwards say things just in such humility, say, it was an honor to pray for
people.
Well,
that is genuinely how I feel.
And I'll say it's commendable, and I'm just grateful to have a prayer warrior wife that's making that impact. Because it was, like you said, it wasn't always there, and I didn't lead well in that. I wasn't a prayer warrior husband. Mm. You know, I mean, it wasn't something either of us used to do at Journey Church. We had prayer teams in our earliest days. We'd invite people up for prayer, and let's just say on a Sunday, this is years ago, we would have 300, 400, 500 people at church. We'd have one or two come up for prayer, and there'd be a prayer team of maybe 3-4 people, and one person would pray for that one other person. And it was just, you know, it was praying, but it wasn't going to war.
Yeah.
You and I wouldn't step forward and say, no, we believe in this. Come forward. Let's go to war in prayer.
Yeah, I have got a couple thoughts on that. Number one, we both went to the School of Hard Knocks. So like you said earlier, neither of us grew up in church. All we saw...
We knew what we knew.
Yes. We bought into what we thought the American church was supposed to look like until we hit rock bottom.
Yes.
And said that we're in a war and we're not using any of our armor. So
that's good.
Once we actually recognized that, we moved towards action.
Yeah.
And from a place of victory, not for victory.
It's good.
But we went to war in prayer for our kids. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Like that, it's the one that comes to my mind the most because it was, we had I felt like we were losing one of them to the world, and we just went through some really hard times, and the turning point was prayer. I believe that.
Well, it's lonely and isolating because here we were during that time, like having to minister to other people while we needed to be ministered to.
Yeah.
And I think it was a confusing time for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it was, how do we ask for help in such a time as this? And of course, people are genuine and they're kind. We have the greatest people at Journey Church. They would give their lives for us, but what could they do during that time? Now, I think in hindsight, like I think we could ask even more boldly and clearly for prayer, but it was a lonely time.
Yeah.
Because we were at war and a lot of it was solo, and it wasn't until a few people stepped into our lives that even stepped and said, well, go get some Sabbath, go get some rest, go get restored from the Lord first, you know? And it was those reminders that we only operate out of the health of who we are.
Absolutely. And I guess that's where I started with was we only did what we knew.
Yes.
But now that we know, we're acting differently.
Which is how we're leading the church.
Yes.
Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 12, that our role is to equip the church. And our role is to equip the church so that they would do the work of the ministry, right? So that we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity, and I'm reading verse 13 now, the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So the point of the church is to grow and mature. And you and I mean, we've been married now 20 years. We've matured a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were both believers in Jesus when we got married, but we are not the same people we were when we got married. We're not the same people we were 2 years ago. We're not the same people we were 10 years ago. Praise God. Well, then he goes on to say in verse 14, if I keep reading, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The whole point of maturity is to no longer be a child, like childish, be defeated, to whine, to feel like, you know, someone else needs to provide for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's all these childish ways.
Yeah.
But in maturity, you take ownership.
Mm-hmm.
In maturity, you want to lead other people.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a child, you get led. You know, when you're a child, you don't know a lot. The more you mature, the more you have revelation how the world operates.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, our church right now, Journey Church in Bend, is growing in maturity. And what excites me right now is like, wow, God, if you've done this much now, what's it going to look like to mature even more, to grow even more, to see more people not be tossed to and fro by the world's false doctrines and schemes of the enemy that have come up against us. Wow. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would just camp on this, especially since where we are, but I want to just lay a stake in the ground right now for all those who are listening that we would be united in this. We are at war.
Yeah.
And we have got to fight the right fight.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure that we're not engaged in the wrong battle with other people. How quickly that can turn in just a dime. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like it can happen in just seconds, where you can be doing well spiritually and then the enemy takes us out, makes us fight with another person. Mm. And in this political season that we're in right now, I just beg the church to pray more than we get political. Yeah. I love America. I believe in our right to vote. I think we should be engaged citizens in our country. We should have engaged Christians in politics. But I am so sickened and saddened the way Christians behave in
this time that we're in. You mentioned it, I don't know, in the last month at when you were preaching, is that like we're citizens of heaven.
Come on.
Before we're citizens of America, right? So if we understand that, then we're again fighting from victory. Yes. Like we don't have to be tossed to and fro by who's the president or our circumstances. Yes. You know, like we have an anchor for our soul.
Or somebody else that votes differently than we vote.
That too. Yes. We don't have to be enemies with other people because we don't think the same or look the same.
Right.
Like the church has for far too long been known for what we're against rather than what we're for. And that has done a huge disservice to the church. Like, right. I don't know. I heard it at, we went to a conference about a month ago or 2 months ago, and one of the pastors just kind of like stepped up and said, the church has a marketing problem. Like we have a really bad marketing problem because we have a really good product, and that's Jesus.
Let's go.
And we are not marketing him properly. Come like on. We are not representing him the way we should be.
If we were taking God at his word, we would be more gentle. We'd be more kind. We would be taking care of the marginalized more.
Absolutely.
I mean, politically speaking, we would stand apart from the left or the right.
Yes.
We wouldn't be Republican or Democrat. No matter who we are, we'd be operating out of the anointing of the Spirit of God working through us, taking God's word seriously.
Yeah.
The world would want what we have.
Absolutely.
We would be flipping upside down cities, states.
Instead, it's the opposite. Yes. And I mean, even this morning, I saw just, you know, a friend I have on Facebook that I don't know, I think I went to high school with her, and just a meme that was posted that was just like, it said something like, the church, why does the church post the Ten Commandments, but not the Beatitudes, you know, like it was just this picture of the
snarky,
church is so judgmental.
Yeah.
But the way of Jesus is not that.
Yeah.
And so we just haven't represented him well.
Come on.
And so that I guess I don't even know where this all came from, but my heart just being that that when we walk in the ways of Jesus, we really will transform our city.
Yes. It came from me making the statement, we are at war. And then we started discussing what that war looks like. And I personally, the reason I even made that statement on this podcast at this time is if we don't acknowledge the war we're losing.
Yeah,
we're
absolutely
losing the war. Like we have to be consciously talking about it, praying about it, aware of it in the spiritual realm, but also in the physical realm.
Yeah,
I mean, this has got to be on the forefront of our minds.
Absolutely.
Or else we lose. We give into it.
Yes.
And then, you know, we'll comment on that post and say,
exactly.
You will start to argue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what conjures up in my hearts when I see those kind of snarky posts. Sometimes I want to defend the bride. Mm-hmm. I want to say, oh, but we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I want to engage in the same type of warfare. And yet that would be buying into the enemy scheme.
Yeah.
And yet,
we need to lead by example.
To go to places the church has never been before.
Yeah, and we need to lead a church in that.
That would be a great awakening when the church is operating out of the fullness of God. Because it's not the Ten Commandments or the Beatitude. It's a both and.
Absolutely.
We have the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the New Testament.
Yep. Amen.
And he's the God of our generation as well.
Yeah.
He's not a different God. He's not another God. There's one God eternal who was, he is, and will forever be.
Yeah.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. One of the things, and this might be something for a whole other podcast, but that I was reminded of when you were just talking about being at war, is that we've had the leaks that we've had, you know, over the last few years has been, and I'll go into it just a little bit, but that it reminds me of the war that we're in, because there's physical things happen that represent spiritual things. And starting even back way before we left on sabbatical, we've had many, many, many leaks at our house.
Since we've lived in Bend, Oregon.
Yes, and water leaks. Actually, it starts way back to our first house. We had an irrigation, an underground right. water leak we didn't even know about that was flooding our neighbor's crawl space.
Since the day we lived in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah, yes. That's true. So we have had, we could go through them at some point, many, many leaks. They all, if in hindsight, they all, we look back and they all coincide with seasons of hard, but right before a breakthrough.
Correct.
And so to me, that's actually a visual picture of a spiritual truth. Mm-hmm. So there's a war going on, and there's something physical that we're seeing that is actually a spiritual war.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can liken this to the listener to let them know that we didn't get this revelation recently, that we can look back on our lives and probably count almost a dozen different leaks
yes.
in our lifetime. Almost every house that we've lived in, and we've lived in a lot of houses
yes.
because that's who we are. We like change. You're mm-hmm. a realtor.
Yeah.
So we like to move around, but from our first house to a brand new house that we had, to a house we were remodeling, which
yeah.
made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
That house had several different leaks that just didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Some leaks make sense, some don't make sense. To the house that we're currently in, I mean, one was so relevant. It was a breakthrough week. It was the week of Passover, and we had just done a Seder with the church. We were about to go into a marriage conference, and moments before the marriage conference,
yeah.
probably one of the biggest physical leaks we've
yeah.
had. I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Just hours before a marriage conference, a huge leak.
Mm-hmm.
It was a breaking of a washing machine on a second level. And I mean, it was just crazy. And then even more recently, we had a giant leak in our front yard in irrigation.
Yep.
I mean, it was like, wow, why are we having all these leaks? And it wasn't until someone asked us, well, have you asked God
yeah.
for the meaning?
Right.
And since that time, we've had months just chewing, like, why do we get so many leaks? Why do we get so many leaks?
Yeah.
And we looked and noticed, well, these leaks come because leaks are stressful. They make you fight. They make you stressed. They
yeah.
make you frustrated. They cost money. They detour you because mm-hmm. now you've got to find somebody to fix it. I mean, it caused you to freak out. I mean, leaks are, they're weird, you know? And so we've got these leaks in the physical realm. So what does that mean spiritually? And we looked and we determined, wow, this was always right before God did something great.
Yeah, always.
And then just this past Sunday. So let's bring present day.
Yeah.
We're driving to church, and it was a hard day. Like mm-hmm. that morning,
mm-hmm.
we had issues with technology. Mm-hmm. Our servers went down with the internet, so we had streaming issues. We had light issues, and then there was just other distractions with people. I mean, one guy is clearly demon-possessed was at our church. There was all kinds of weird little things. We're driving to church Sunday night to our prayer worship night, pursuit night, and I tell you, Kara, we need to make sure we keep our eyes on Jesus, because when times are tough, there's going to be breakthrough. Or we give in and we might as well give up. Like you said,
yeah.
we might as well pack our bags and go do something else. And I was
yeah.
like, I think we're on the precipice of breakthrough.
Yeah.
We get to the church.
Oh, yeah.
And minutes later, it starts raining and flooding into our auditorium.
Yep.
Now, what doesn't make sense with this story is we just got a brand new roof on this commercial building a week earlier.
Yeah.
They said it was complete. It rains and we get all these leaks. So that literally was like a reminder, I think, to both of our hearts. Okay, there's breakthrough.
Yeah.
Breakthrough is here.
Breakthrough is coming.
So sometimes, and it's not every little thing or else we become hyper spiritual crazies. Every physical thing does not have a spiritual meaning. But God definitely operates in the physical
yeah.
with spiritual parallels, meanings,
yeah.
revelation, impressions,
yeah.
that if we're not aware of that, we're going to miss it.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I even think back to a really big leak we had that was became a mold issue at, the house that in Arizona where we were.
Yes.
During the sabbatical, which was a time of transition. It was a time of healing.
Come on.
It was a time of new calling and new purpose and new anointing. And,
you and I are getting on the same page.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And
it took
and
towards, months to get there.
Yeah. And towards the end of it, when we're, ramping up to come back to Bend and just like, go to war mm-hmm. in the city, we have this huge, massive leak that just takes like all the energy out.
Yep.
All the, I don't know, all of our attention, you know, is when we were supposed to be coming back.
And it's the enemy trying to rob joy too, because it's frustrating.
Yeah. And it's a distraction. It's a huge distraction, you know, so I think that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. But I honestly didn't put all these pieces together. I can't tell you a lot of, truths in my life where I can look and say, oh, that was spiritual, but it's manifesting physical. Like this mm-hmm. is probably one of the only ones. It's like what you said. You can't do that with everything. That mm-hmm. you just become weird. But this one is like a big one because it's happened so many times
right
before breakthrough
right.
That it's like it's undeniable. And honestly, we had a friend at the marriage conference mention it. She's like, well, have you ever thought?
Because
one of the last ones we had was right before that conference.
Right.
So anyway, she brought it to our attention, and I think there is truth in it.
Amen.
And once you start seeing the world through spiritual eyes, it just looks a little bit different.
It does. And that's when God gives you an understanding of what the vision is, the physical and the spiritual.
Yeah.
That's when all of a sudden you realize, okay, this has been confirmed through multiple different ways,
yeah.
even through other people. And when you and I are able to process and get on the same page, like, oh yeah, let's connect the dots here. I shared with you, and I'm going to do a sermon on this eventually, looking up leaks in the Bible. Mm. And the only solid place I could find is when the temple was neglected and they weren't collecting the tithes and they weren't getting the offerings from God's people. And as a result, there were leaks through the temple roof into the temple of God
mm-hmm.
that when we neglect our spiritual state, there will be leaks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's been like on the precipice of a breakthrough. But I would also say on the flip side, it's a testing. Like, are you going to take care of this?
Yeah.
Are you going to take care of this matter? Or are you just going to let it go?
Yeah.
Like even, the leak we had most recently in our front yard is like, we could have just let that go and it would have caused much bigger problems.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been tens of thousands of dollars versus, $1,000, at the end of the day, you've got to take care of the problem or it becomes a bigger problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you own the problem and you do it with, well, James 1, I'm going to count this all as joy. This trial is not meant to set me back. It's going to set me up for something.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, God uses an obstacle for great opportunity.
Yeah. Which is, when you're in it, it can be really hard.
Yes.
But I feel like once you've lived enough and you've lived enough through them.
Come on.
It's like I was explaining with prayer. Once you've seen victory, once you've lived that life, you don't want to go back.
Amen.
But anyway.
So we need to encourage each other, you and me.
Yeah.
But then our listeners too, as a body of Christ, we've got to encourage each other when we're going through something, that's not the end of the story.
Yeah.
God is writing a story. He's going to give some type of revelation to show you how he's working it together for good.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't right now, praise be to God, where we're going is much greater than what we're going through.
Amen.
Yes. Wow. Well, Kara, this has been a good conversation.
Yeah, I feel like it's been so long. We had quite a bit to talk about.
Yes, and we've got so much more. I mean, at the end of the day, we've been eager to talk on here. I mean, I think this has been good for us, this podcast, just to process each week, the good, the bad, the ugly, all for the glory of God. You know, like, oh, what'd God do Sunday? We often used to record these on Mondays. And we process these stories. But for us, I think it's just getting back into that rhythm of saying, hey, what is God doing in our lives right now? Right now, we're at war right now.
Yeah.
There's leaks that we know aren't the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
God's doing a new thing. There's going to be a remodel. That prophetic vision you know what? He's not going to leave it there. It's going to get fixed.
Amen.
And it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So don't give up, my friends. Don't give up right now. Be a praying person, armored up for the glory of God. He's not finished with you yet. Any
Amen.
Parting words for us today? Nothing.
No. I think we covered quite a bit.
Oh.
I would also just say there's, it's very biblical for like seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a season for all things. And sometimes there's a season for rest.
Come on.
A season to keep your mouth quiet.
Let's go.
And then there's another season when you're
we've been
like
in that season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the season we've been in, but I think God's released us and it's time to push forward. So,
okay. Well, let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this time today. And I, even as Kara said, there's a time to keep your mouth shut. There's a time to open your mouth. I just pray that as we do, we would be bold with our words, that it would be your word, like a double-edged sword that comes out of our mouth, that we would speak your promises over other people's lives, over our families, and that we would take you at your word, Lord. So may we be a church that fights a good fight. May we armor up because the victory's already been won. We thank you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we just say, because you loved us, we love you too, Lord. So help your churches for such a time as this. I'm praying for a great revival, a new great awakening in this generation, unlike anything we've seen. Start with our hearts, God. Would you burn in the church? Would you, Holy Spirit, be an all-consuming fire in us, that we would believe that you have called us, that you've called us, that you would build your church in this time, and we would see something that we've never seen before. We welcome that today in Jesus' name. So be it, and amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on The Journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.